Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone here. We thank you for your word that's coming strong in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to quickly move into our teaching. So we started our teaching, neglect not the Holy Ghost. And we started by paying attention to a number of Paul's instructions on the activities of the Spirit. He uses words like quench not, despise not, neglect not. In fact, quench not, he says that to the church in Thessalonica. Neglect not, he says that to his son, Timothy. And have we been quenching not? Okay, or some of you have already quenched? Okay, how about, are we learning not to despise? Are we learning not to despise? Okay, so Paul also says, neglect not is to make light of the Holy Spirit, his gifts, and what he intends to do through us. So Paul is giving out all of these instructions to the church. And then to his son Timothy, says, neglect not, quench not the Holy Ghost. Neglect not, do not make light of the Holy Ghost. And these instructions apply to us today. They apply to us today. And of course, he knows, for example, Timothy, he knows Timothy will not be able to accomplish the ministry if he neglects. He will not be able to serve God well if he neglects. He will not be able to accomplish so much in God's plan if he neglects. So he tells Timothy, neglect not. So we saw these instructions. Then later on, we went on to see a number of prophecies that were spoken by major prophets on the Holy Spirit, of which we established that the Holy Spirit is sent to us, and where is he? He is within us, right? Great. So the Holy Spirit is within us. He's that refreshing spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us. And that sometimes we just make light of him. We don't listen to what he tries to say to us. We don't receive the comfort he is trying to give to us. You know, we doubt his power. We doubt his works. You know, it's quite interesting. I'll tell you one thing, funny thing. You know, I read in the scripture, it says that whoever finds anger in his bosom is a fool, right? I was shocked. One time, there was something happening, and I got angry, and I heard the Holy Spirit judging me, you know. So I said, that is the scripture. So I said, oh, no, I'm not going in that direction. And it was in key. I was like, where is key coming from? You know? So, he speaks to us in very interesting ways. You know? So, I'm serious. When I say I hear God, I really hear, you know, I hear God like someone talking to me. Like you are talking. That's how I hear God. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. So when I hear Jai Jimmy, you know, it's real. I was like, I've been speaking English now. I don't know if tree is going to be my native language, but then it's quite interesting. So he's that refreshing spirit that speaks on the inside of us. It's a scripture. Don't forget what I'm saying. Uh-huh. So we went on to also look at what Jesus Christ says he's going to do. Let's go to John. Let's go to John. John 14. Some of you are going to hear, oh, that too much. Oh, you are sleeping too much. God is humorous, I tell you. When you walk with him, he can make you laugh, sir. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. We said the word another helper or another comforter is the word what? Allos. Parakletos. So I said, you know, breaking that basically, allos, what? Did I say allos was? Okay. Another of the same kind. Right? Another of the same kind. Then, para was what? One that is called to be belong or beside. Then, kletos from the word kaleo is to call. So, I said that in basic words, it's one that is called to be alongside, right? He's called to be alongside. And that's the word comforter. So he's called to be with you. I also made us see how that, you know, the disciples understood that perfectly because they always had Jesus with them. They saw all the wonderful miracles that Jesus had done. They saw the healings. If you were the one that saw someone turn water into wine, wouldn't you be sad that he's leaving? He can turn your sadness into joy. Your sadness into joy. He can turn it into wine. We don't need wine for parties any longer. We only need Jesus. If you were the one that your mother-in-law was sick with fever, he came and he just pulled her out. Would you not be sad that he was leaving you? Of course, you will be very sad. You were, you know, sailing. The winds became very boisterous and he's sleeping. Then you wake him up. Then he just calms the whole storm. I mean, everybody would love to be with Jesus. So this is the disciples, you know, who were not excited that they got to realize that he was not going to be with them any longer. Then he now says there's something that he was going to do for them. He was going to send to them one that is of the same kind. One that will help, that is in the similitude of Jesus. One that plays his role. Plays his role. Plays his role. Then he calls him another comforter. He calls him the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is actually not a name. It's actually a description. It's just a spirit that is separate from several others. So it's not like Holy Spirit is Pascal. No, it's just an identity to explain who he is, what he does, and his work. Pneuma Hagios in the New Testament. Ruach Kadesh in, you know, Hebrew. The breath. Spirit. Pneuma. Breath. So he is that breath. And what does breath do? Breath gives life. It brings essence. Wherever it is, there's a presence that the Holy Spirit brings that is of God. So he explains this as another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And where is this Spirit of God? He is where? Within. Does he only come when we have the worship services in songs? No. He's always there. So let's go back to our scripture. In John 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you when? Forever. Forever. He does not abide for a season. He is abiding forever. Pastor, what if I did something wrong? I feel he has left. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. In Jesus' words, he abides what? Forever. Now, forever is not going to be our emphasis, so we'll just move on. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Do we see that from the prophets? So the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. That's why when you pray for the Holy Spirit, after a period where you think you don't have him, you're going against Jesus' words. Because he told you he will be in you. And when he's in you, he's going to be with you forever. Jesus calls him another comforter. How many of us feel like we need some comfort in life? Oh, you don't need comfort. Oh. Okay. How many of you know that you actually have all the comfort you need? All right. So, what is the need now? Gang, gang. Because I asked you, everybody, me did termo. I asked you. So he said, I need joy. But he says, I'll pray to you and my Father will give to you this Spirit, which is another comforter. You say, I need God's help. Now he now says, you have God's help. So say, I'm depressed. Life's issues are too much. He says, he gives to you another. One that gives you the comfort and I the comfort that we probably may be looking for. So, I thought to remind you that we will have to pay attention to the Holy Ghost. Pay attention to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you, we're going to go through quite a number of scriptures. Because everything that you need, we're going to see that God has supplied. Paul writes that to the Ephesians church, telling them how that they have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then he now prays for them that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened to know what is the hope of this call. So he calls him another comforter. How many of us struggle with certain things? Don't lift up your hand. Addictions. He calls him helper. He calls him comforter. We struggle with some kind of life. We don't know how to break out of that kind of life. He calls him helper. Maybe there's some, you know, pornography, masturbation, girls, girls, boys, boys. He says, there is one that is sent to help. We're wondering how life is going to turn out. He says, there is one that is sent to help. One that is given to help. So that we are not helpless and left as orphans. Say, I'm not helpless. Say, I have God's help. Some of us are looking for the next place to invest. The next place, what business to start. There's a decision that needs to be taken. What should I do? He says, he sends us one that helps. One that helps. Somebody's saying that, oh, I'm just alone. Nobody likes me. I don't have a bestie. Bestos. I'm just alone. You know, one of the things that God will do for you, if you're listening to me and you're that kind of a fellow, those things cannot exist when you get to understand what I'm about to teach you. I've never felt alone. Alone of what? Who? Why? Why do you feel alone? Some of you even feel you are not complete. Because you don't have bestos. You feel you are not complete. You need somebody to complete you. You know, you don't need anybody to complete you. You are very complete. Turn to the one sitting and say, I'm very complete, you see. No, nobody should complete me. Or you are not complete. Hey, so you have God, but you are still saying that, Pastor, you don't understand. The complete is... it's more than just being complete. Hey, you're telling me that I don't understand. Pastor, you don't understand. You know, we have the Holy Ghost, so but. But what? But what? What else do you want? Turn to yourself. You see, I'm very complete. Say, look at my hand. I don't need anything to complete. Yeah, you don't need that. So he sends you one. Nobody's saying that I don't understand. You don't understand. Yeah. So he sends to give you comfort. I can tell you, all of these things, they will not exist if you will believe God's word that I'm showing you right now. It's like you feel life is very difficult. You don't know where to turn. You don't know who to talk to. You don't know what next to do. You are thinking. Because in your diary, you wrote that by 25, you have Lincoln Navigator. By 30, you have Lincoln Navigator plus Jaguar. Then now it's like you are 26, but you have not had it yet. Then you are now wondering. You're now worried. It's like you are now sad. What is going on? What's happening? He sends to you help. Help. I'm talking about somebody who practically help you. And help your life. Yeah. So in John 14, verse 16, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Another helper, another comforter. So who is the Holy Spirit to us? A comforter. A comforter. You don't need comfort in anyone's arms. Somebody's laughing. You don't need comfort. You don't need that. You need the Holy Ghost. Say, Pastor, I just want someone to put my head. Your pillow is there. So he gives to us one that comforts. Nobody comforts better than God. I tell you, nobody understands and helps you like this Spirit given to you. Now, while the disciples walked with him, you know, they always received help from him. Yeah, every time. Like anything that happens now, they're going to Jesus. Like Jesus, they said they are coming to catch us. Just relax, don't worry. It's me they are coming to catch, not you. Right? Jesus, you know, they walked to a point. At a point in time, they were hungry, thirsty, where he met the woman at the well. At that point in time, they were hungry. He gave them money to go and buy food. Yeah. Peter was still struggling to catch fish. He spoke a miracle. His net broke. They had seen all of these wonderful things. In fact, God sending him tells us how that this same Spirit was upon Jesus and he was anointed to do good. To heal them that were sick. To set free them that are oppressed. I don't know what kind of oppression you think you found yourself in, but what you actually would have to pay attention to is what God has given to us, which is the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. Another helper. So he's going to comfort. Some of you are saying, how will I do the ministry? Don't worry. Depend more on him. Depend more on him. Depend more on him. I grew up in a broken home, and my parents are not working together. You know, my father always fights with my mom. My mom always fights with my dad. You know, I think it's getting to me. And it's like none of them understand me. They all speak to me. They speak against themselves to me. It's just pastors too much. You know, and I've seen this as a pastor time in and time again. It practically affects the children. You see them and they are really affected. And I've always wanted to tell people who fall in these, you know, categories, what you need is the Holy Spirit. Comfort. So if you're looking for comfort, comfort is in the Holy Spirit. So number one, what is he going to do? I'm going to keep it very simple. What is he going to do? He's going to comfort. Are you listening? He's going to help. 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 I see you being helped out of things you think you are helpless about. Yeah. You are helped out. You don't know how you walk out of it. But by the mighty Holy Spirit. Yes. Helped. Who needs help? Lift up your hand and say, I need help. Say, I have help. Say, I need help. Say, I have help. Say, I have all the help I need. Yes, because God has given to me His Holy Spirit. Just take your seats. So he's going to offer comfort. Now, when you neglect him, what you neglect is comfort. Because when you neglect what he comes to do. I can tell you, he comforts me almost every time. Yeah. Comfort. You know, on my birthday, last year, I practically heard God talking to me through His Spirit. I woke up first thing in the morning. He just gave me a scripture. Then he said, read it. That's what I have for you. So I read it. And I was like, wow. The comfort he brings to my soul. The comfort he gives to me. He's looking to give that same and more in your life. Yes. Some of us think money will give us comfort. Until we get money, then we'll see that money is actually not comfort. It may bring some kind of, you know, luxury and so, but it's not comfort. It does not bring real comfort, which is of God. Yeah. So parties. You know, let me just wine and dine. You know. You wake up with headache. Again, vomiting, smelling mouths all over the place. Friday, Soloku, you go. Huh? You take, what do you call it? Turns. Turns. I don't even know what to say. Shisha. Say. I just need to blow off. All of these things, you will not get it in those things you are trying to get them from. Your life will at the end of the day just be a complete waste without God and the Holy Spirit comforting you through the issues of life. So he comforts. Don't look for comfort in anyone. Because you won't get it. Don't desire comfort in anyone. My pastor, when he's not there, I don't know what to do. My sister, be comforted. Huh? Don't desire comfort in anything. Don't desire comfort. Using anything. Don't desire that. Our comfort is in the Holy Spirit. Is in God. Is in Christ. So he's one that comforts. Look at verse 26. Even as I speak to you, a number of you are receiving comfort. Because he will be ministering to your hearts. It's the one that comforts from losses. And he's bringing comfort. And stirring up comfort. And you are leaving this place. Oh, I don't know. I feel comforted. You don't know what is, but I'm comforted because I've gotten to know that God comforts me. I have the Holy Spirit. And even now he's ministering that to you. Take your seats. Don't distort. Yeah, you can stand, but not just flow. I want you to flow, right? Yeah. Comfort. Say, I have comfort. Put your hands on your chest. Say, I have comfort. Because I have the Holy Spirit. Second thing he's going to do for you. In verse 26, he calls him the helper again. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. How many of us want to be taught certain things supernaturally? Yeah. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. Of course, contextually, he's going to teach you, reveal Christ to you. But he has an effect. Even in your natural life. Yes. So he teaches you God. He teaches you to see Jesus as you should. He teaches you to, you know, understand Jesus in his word. He opens up God's word to you. He makes it more real to your heart. That's what he does. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you. teach you not to be afraid, teach you to not fear, teach you to not worry, teach you to not, you know, be troubled about life. Teach you to see how to navigate your way through life's issues. He's going to teach you. You know, how many of us saw how Jesus taught his disciples in the Gospels? A lot of times, they didn't understand anything. They'll say, Jesus, what does this mean? And he sits them down and he begins to teach them. And today, this Holy Spirit, which he has given to us, is playing that same role now. There are things you just are taught. There are things you just are taught. You know, I was telling someone that, of course, he teaches by studying. As you study the word of God, you get to understand what God's word actually is saying. Then there are also times where he just teaches you. How he teaches you is that he just imparts that knowledge into you. So you wake up and you don't know how you know, but you just know that this thing, this is how it is. You've been taught by a supernatural person. He teaches you. Teaches. Explains. Expounds. Say, I'm taught by God's Spirit. Yes. He'll teach you to be wise. He'll teach you to handle things. Teach you to handle your relationships. Teach you to handle life's issues. Teach you God. Teach you everything that you need to know. If you can acknowledge that he's actually a teacher and he's actually the teacher. And how does he teach? John says he will bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. He'll bring the word of God you've read to you. Yeah. Some people don't know that remembrance is a very powerful way that God teaches and that God directs and that God instructs and that God leads. Remembrance. Yeah. It's the mighty work of the Holy Spirit's teaching. You know, one time I met somebody and when I saw the person, you know, I said, you remind me of this person. No, I didn't say, I said it to myself. Like whenever I see this person, the person reminds me of another person. So I said, why is it that whenever I see this person, you always remind, like when I see you, the first few seconds, I get the memory anytime, every time, if not all the times. Yeah, most of the times, if I would say. And the person had been very disloyal to me. But whenever I saw this person reminded me of the other person. I said, every time, I mean, what is it so different about you? Not knowing that he was also one. Yeah. Remind. How many of you, maybe at a point in time you were praying and you remembered something he told you to do like a year ago? That you didn't do. An instruction he gave you that you didn't do. So why am I remembering? Or why is this being reminded? Why am I reminded of this? He's the one talking to you. How many of you have found yourself in situations and then something you were taught in church just comes to your mind? Yeah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is reminding you. He works through remembrance. He works through remembrance. There are several times I've had to be reminded. Look, even sometimes when I'm prophesying, I can see someone. And the person reminds me of someone. You know what normally I do? I just copy the same thing I know about that person I prophesied to you. And it will be 100% true. So why not listen to you? You see someone, the mother died, she's suffering, she comes from here, and you see another person, the person's face literally comes on the person that you are talking to. You say, is your mother dead? Yes. Are you worried? Yes. Do you come? What? Yes. The same. So many times you see things and you are reminded. This a remembrance. It's a work of a mighty Holy Spirit. He's teaching you something that you need to know. You bring a scripture to your thoughts. A scripture that you have not read in a while, you bring it to your thoughts. You wake up, a song that you have not heard in 10 years, it starts to play in your mind. Where is it coming from? The mighty Holy Spirit that's trying to teach something to you. Yeah. And sometimes you can use natural things. An advice that maybe your pastor gave you, but you didn't listen. You see that it's playing in your mind. Or your father. Or your mother. Kojo, you've forgotten, Kraba. One day you wake up and you are just reminded of that. Suyadio, Leno. Yeah, he's trying to tell you that. That's what your mother told you. He's reminding you to take your academics seriously. So there's a work of the Holy Spirit. How many of us have had dreams that continually come back to us, reminding us of what we had already seen? Yeah. Visions, experiences. So he teaches. Because he's going to open our eyes to see Jesus as we should. How? Through remembrance. That means that if you don't have a lot of exposure to the word, remembrance is going to be very difficult for you. Because he would not have anything to work with. You're supposed to give him something to work with. Then he can work with what you have given. So those of you who don't read your Bibles, you don't read your Bibles, you don't listen to teachings, you don't do anything about the word, and you do nothing about hearing the word, what is he going to remind you of? What are you going to remember? At least be in church so that you will hear something when he wants to tell you. He will have something to remind you of. So he's going to teach. Now, his teachings do not override. Again, I want to play some. His teaching doesn't override the teachings your pastors give you. They work together. Are you listening? Before now, someone said, Pastor, you know, the Holy Spirit taught me to, but what you are teaching me is, they work together. They're supposed to work together. So he's going to teach. Look at what he's going to do in John 16, 13. Now, when you neglect, you are missing out on all of these things. Verse 13, John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? He will guide. How many of us think we need guidance? All of us. We all need guidance. At every point in time of your life, you will need a certain kind of guidance. And God has given to him this responsibility. He answers to the name of Jesus, definitely. What do I do? Where do I go? What should I do? The mighty Holy Spirit given to us is set to guide. Is set to guide. Say, I have supernatural guidance. That's why you will not miss it in life. Because you'll be, you know, in life, sometimes you are even guided. You may not even know. That's why I'm teaching you to know that there's somebody that guides you. Yeah. You are guided, but you think you are just walking. You are praying, 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 receiving the wisdom of God's word. You say, oh, then you'll be guided. Then you are praying, then you are praying, then you are receiving the wisdom of God's word, then you'll be guided. Then you are being guided to that place where God has set you to be. So you're not without guidance. I never believe I'm without guidance. You are with guidance. Are you listening? Yes, you're with guidance. God is guiding your life into something very beautiful and something very great. Yeah. Yeah. He's guiding. 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 He's guiding. He's guiding. Say, I'm guided. Say, I'm guided. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. He's guiding. He's guiding my life into places where he wants me. Every time you'll be guided. In your ministries, you're going to be guided. Yes. He guides, leads. You know, when you have a guide, you know, when you go to the tourist centers, there is a guide, right? So he says, okay, now can we go? And then you start to follow. Then at a point in time, he says, stay here. A few meters away from here, we're about to meet the lions. Stay, don't. If you say, hey, do you know my father? I don't need any guidance. I've come. So that I've paid. Have I not paid? Say, yes, please, you've paid. What are you going to do? You're going to meet the lions. While you are guiding, he will say, no, be careful. Watch your talk. Because there are some leopards. And they are Mubuntus. They hide in the trees. You know, and people die in tourist sites like this, where there are no guides. Before I said, you have stepped into a crocodile's mouth, and you are already being chewed. People have been killed by wild lions before, just because they will not follow the guide. God is saying, no, don't make noise. Don't make noise. When you make noise here, we are all in trouble. Don't make noise. Just move in quietly. That's when you say, no, hey, who are you? Then your phone starts to ring. You say, we are now in trouble. The lions are here. Look at them. Because you refused the guidance that is given to you. Yeah. The guidance. So he's going to guide you into truth. You know, one time someone was lying to me. And, you know, sometimes I'll just be, and it comes, pop. This person said this, this person said this, this person did this, this person did that, this person did this. It's a lie. No, it's not a lie. You tell you that it's a lie, my brother. Say, no, it's not a lie. This is. We are going through your reports. You say you had what people say. This thing, Pascal, why are you reading? The report is not true. He leads into truth. I don't know what truth you are seeking to discover. Truth about your life. Truth about whatever it is that you are looking for. Truth about information that will help you move in a certain direction. He leads into truth. Yeah. He leads into truth. One time, my father called me. And he said that. Pascal, I'm with somebody. The person had a seizure, like a consistent seizure. She was consistently in seizures. So he said that I want you to pray for her. So I took the phone. And when I started praying, she started manifesting on the phone. Then it was very rigorous. So my dad took the phone and he said, Pascal, can you tell me the truth about this situation? Who did this to this girl? So I said, see, I don't want to mention the person's name. But because you are asking me, I may want to give the details to you. So I said, do you know this person? Ask them, do they know this person? And they asked, they said, they know. I said, okay. I said, she's the one. How did I know? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Even he knew that I had the Holy Ghost by asking that, tell me the truth about this particular issue. Tell me the person that did it. I said, I'll tell you the person. If you want me, I don't prophesy like that. It does not mean I can't prophesy like that. I don't prophesy. If you want me to tell you, I will tell you the person. And I told him the person. Yeah. And whatever they will do with it, they have to do with it. And I also don't know this person. So if I mention the person, then you say, I don't know you. Okay, it's not you. It's another somebody. Oh yeah, sorry. It's not you. It's another person. So he leads into truth. He leads into truth. God is leading you into some kind of truth. Yes. Speak in tongues. You are being led into some kind of truth. Yeah. You are being led into some kind of truth. A truth about your life. Yeah. Yeah. Some kind of truth. Have you met somebody where you can see that this person, take your seat, you are not going far. Yeah. You're not going far. Because when we put everything that you do together, it shows that you're, but the person say, I'm going far. I'm going far. I'm going far. So you say, so you can't see that what you are doing, it means that you are not going far. Huh? He's the one that reveals such truth to you. That this thing you are doing, the result of this is that. How many of you have met somebody, the person says, oh me, I'm very quiet. But you say, hey, you. The person is lying to himself that he is a quiet person. But you can actually really talk. But the person says, I'm very quiet. I'm very quiet. I don't really, I'm very quiet. I'm very quiet. So when he reveals to you that your talking is what is going to cause a lot of problems for you, and he reveals to you that you are talking, that's why everybody is running away from you, and you can't keep secrets, and you can't keep quiet, and you now say, oh, thank you. I'm not quiet. I should find a way to be quiet. Yeah, he's the one that reveals truth. I don't know what truth should be revealed to you in your life concerning the word of God. You know, it's like when you even say, you said to someone, you know, Jesus has told us in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we're healed. And so I want to tell you that you are healed. And as I lay hands on you, you are healed. Or you are healed. The person will say that, no, I mean, let's be serious. I'm not healed, you know. I'm not healed. I still have that diagnosis. I even went to the doctor 2 days ago. The doctor said, it's still there. And I say, no, but that's not what the word of God is saying. So you see, there's a truth, but you can't see. But when the truth is revealed to you, you say, oh, I'm actually healed. That's the reason why Jesus died. Also, he was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was laid upon him. By his stripes I was healed. Oh, that's true. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Though I may not feel it now, But I know his word says so. So yes, Pastor, I'm healed. The word of God says so. You see? You are going to be great.
Do you know where I come from? Pastor, if you know where I came from, nobody's there to help me.
Then there's a word that comes to you, whether in prophecy or by discovery or by revelation.
See, no, it's not like that. You really don't understand.
There's a truth that you should come to.
Say, God has called you into the ministry. Say, no, I really can't talk. I'm not bold.
There's a truth you must come to. And if you're going to come to the realization of this truth, it's going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit revealing and leading and guiding and showing you these truths. Guides into all truth. The guy is lying. You know. Yeah, you know. You know all the dead is not anywhere. It's not anywhere. The lady is lying. You know. This lady is here. I was telling someone, I said, open your eyes so they can pretend. I'm not afraid of them. That's why I'm saying it. They can pretend. No, they didn't come to church. They didn't say anything.
So
he guides into truth. Romans 8:26. He helps our infirmities. 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 He guides, leads into all truth. There are things you will see. You see, that one is a good career choice. This one is a good decision to make. That one is the decision to choose. It will lead you. You will get to the sky. I don't know what truth you should discover. But there will be a revelation. Maybe now, through his word, through visions, through experiences, there'll be something to come to the truth of. And that's going to be the work of the mighty Holy Spirit. You will not be blind any longer. Yes. You will not walk in places and you can't see. There'll be light in your path. He would cause you to know certain things. There'll be things to know. How you know, you don't know, but you just know. You just know.
You just know. You know that's a dangerous path to take. You will just know. Before even your pastor calls you, you already have a witness. That's a dangerous path to take. And you also know it when it's green, a path to take. You will know. He will witness it to you. Yeah. One time I called someone and I said, I've been wanting to say this to you for a while, but I've been waiting for him to witness this to me. Did you have a witness? I have a witness on this. Yes. He would show something to you. He would impress something to you. He would tell something to you. He would reveal something to you. He would witness something to you. He would show it to you. I don't know about, there'll be truth in your path. There'll be truth in your path. Yes. You will not walk in darkness any longer. So the mighty Holy Spirit, he shows the things to come, is what we see. He helps our infirmities. Romans 8:26. How many of us have certain infirmities? If the Bible says you have an infirmity, you really do. And that infirmity here is not sickness. It's that you don't know what you should pray for as you ought to. Romans 8:26. And then we're reading 2 verses 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or weaknesses. How many of us sometimes we get up to pray, but it's like, hey, the prayer is struggling to be prayed. You sleep 1 hour, you wake up, pray 3 minutes. The 3 minutes is to comfort your heart that you tried to pray, but it didn't come through. But he helps our infirmities. He helps us to pray. And he helps us to pray according to the will of God. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's going to help our prayer life. He's going to make our prayer more specific. Some of us want to pray. The secret to our prayer is the Holy Ghost. If anybody is sleeping next to you, wake them up. The secret is the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you should pray for as you ought to. But the secret to having a pulsating prayer life, a prayer life that is active, is the Holy Spirit. God is going to help you to pray as you ought to. It's like when you start to pray, you are praying as you ought to. There's a way you ought to. There's something you ought to pray about that is going to be prayed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Prayed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Don't neglect him. You won't survive. We cannot survive. Look at what he does. He helps our infirmities in that place of prayer. We do not know what we should pray for. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verses number 6. The next thing he does is that he confirms to us that we are God's children. Galatians 4, verse 6. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts. So you see that he's in our hearts. And he confirms to us that we're no longer slaves, but sons of God. And if a son, then we're a heir of God through Christ. He does this for us. He confirms to us that we're born again. We're sons of God. And how he does this is that he cries through us. There's a confirmation. You know that you're born again. You don't need to feel born again. You know. He confirms that to you in your heart by the Spirit's willing and the Spirit's cry. The Spirit's confirmation. That's why you can't go to hell. No. There's a mighty Holy Spirit that is giving us to help our infirmities. He confirms to us that we are God's children. He comforts us. He teaches us. He guides us into all truth, showing us the things that are to come. He abides and he lives in us forever. People of God, even the work of the ministry is essentially the Holy Spirit. You cannot serve the Lord without the Spirit. You know, in the natural world, you have pimping. You know, you make sales to get goods. I mean, you make sales to get customers, right? You know, we take a video. We take a video and then you say, 1, 2, cut. Yes, my name is, Pascal, and I'm talking from so-and-so companies, and we're here to tell you that we're dealing this and this and this and this and this. And we are the best marketing aluminium company shareholder since the year 2014. So yeah, we want you to buy our goods, and we have the best of goods all around Africa. Now, it doesn't mean you are lying. No, you are not lying. That's what you do in the market sector, and it's okay. Do you understand? You use your natural human strength, abilities, you know, talents. You try to sell off what you have. And that is okay to do. In fact, you should do that. So those of you who have business and you are saying that, I will not do video, the Holy Ghost will. Yes, he will, but then that is also a market strategy. Are you listening? Yes, when you sell whatever, you take pictures and you put it there and you sell. You do videos and you say, oh, my name is this and I'm calling from this and this is what we sell and this is what we sell. We're the best at supplying this and we're the best at supplying that. Yes, that is good. Right? In the business sector, you pitch your business. You don't go and stand there and say, the Holy Spirit will talk for me. When you have other 5 companies who are pitching their multi-million businesses, you have to pitch. You have to stand there. You have to speak. You have to sell what you have using natural means. You sell what you have. You know how to go about the market strategy. You know what the people are supposed to hear so they can buy what you have. That is very natural. And that's why seeker-sensitive, you know, churches today may not be exactly God's plan. Exactly. Because he doesn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. In the business sector, it's okay. In your natural things, it's okay. You sell wigs. You take pictures, go to the desk, you put it there. Everybody is seeing you. It's okay. We don't have a problem with it. But ministry is not that. We don't do ministry like that. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Ministry is the Holy Ghost. Naturally, you can have all those things, but not the ministry exactly. It's not strategy. Of course, even if you are playing by a strategy, it must be a strategy given by God's Spirit. How are my disciples going to grow? The Holy Ghost. How's the ministry going to be accomplished? The Holy Ghost. So in the ministry, he is also the one that leads, that guides, that instructs, that teaches, that brings the increase. That's why you find Paul planting, Apollos is watching, but it is God that gives the increase to what is done. So increase is of God. It's of the Spirit of God. Of course, not any kind of increase, because there's increase on stadiums, football fields. There's a lot of people got it for other entertainment issues. It has to be increased by the Spirit of God. Let's get a PA. Yeah, let's do. We are here to...
That's not wrong. But if your strategy is just that, no. Your service to God is going to be by the Holy Spirit. Your evangelisms are going to be by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts very quickly. Very quickly. Hold your Bibles, like hold it. In 5 minutes, we're going to read a chunk of scriptures. Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaim, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Can we read together as a church? The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So whose work is it? The Holy Spirit's work. It's his work. The ministry is essentially the work of the Holy Spirit. He calls them and he sends them. It's a spirit activity. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16. We're going to really fly. Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 6. Verse 6 to 10. Acts 16, verse 6 to 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the what? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So the Holy Spirit leads us in our what? In our evangelism, so our preaching activities. Now I should put a caveat to that. I should put some interest to that. If your pastor is telling you go here and be there, that's the Holy Ghost telling you to do that. Are you listening? It's not that your pastor says you, the Holy Ghost said I should be somewhere else. No. Your pastor has the Holy Ghost. He's the one that leads the entire congregation. But then you see that sometimes, even when he sends you there, there are specifics on how you should go about where he has sent you. So that the Holy Spirit leads you and he guides you in your evangelistic activities. So in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 16, verses number 6 to 10, the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia. Look at what happens in verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not what? Permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So where was the Spirit of God leading them to go? Macedonia. Not Phrygia, not Galatia. So he is responsible for the work of a ministry. He is the one that leads what the ministry should look like, where you should go, your preaching engagements. And that's why you must be attentive to where he wants you to go and to what he wants you to do. So for example, I put you at Evandi, or I put you at UPSA, or I put you at some other area. You're there because God's Spirit tells me as a pastor to get you there. So when you now get there, you're now praying out God's will for that particular space where you can be led by his Spirit. Are you listening? So he is essentially the one that brings the increase to the ministry. He leads us to preach as we should. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He is the power behind the ministry. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So it was a, Lord, there should be power in the church. We are essentially talking about the Holy Spirit active, present, and moving amongst his people strongly. Are you listening? So in our work of the ministry, boldness is of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 4, verses 29. Acts chapter 4, verses 29. Our emphasis now is hitting on ministry. So just flow with me. Are you listening? 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by the stretching of their hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of our holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you see that?
So boldness is of what? The Holy Ghost. When you say, I'm timid, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say, the Holy Spirit is the one that supplies for bold. I mean, the one that supplies boldness. And so your boldness for the ministry is going to be of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 10. No, let's skip Acts 10. Acts 13, 52. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So joy is of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So whenever we say, I'm not joyful, there's something wrong, I don't really know. The Holy Ghost is where you must receive torrents of joy. And you must be open to Him. So when you neglect Him, you neglect all of these and more. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Overseers. To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So, can we say that? He's the main overseer of the church. The Holy Spirit. That's why we come and we hand it over to the Holy Ghost. And we say, He says, okay, I want to move in the service this way. Sometimes He tells me that as a pastor, don't get in my way, okay? Yes. You know, we are used to preaching, offering, then preaching, teaching, offering. You are used to preaching. Then there's another time He says, don't preach. Go and stand there and minister. Or go and stand there, let them rejoice. Did you say rejoice and go home? Yes, rejoice and go home. Let them minister one to themselves. Minister to them. He oversees the church's activities. He's the one that guides the way the ministry should go. He's the one that tells us do it like this and we do it like that. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So joy and now what? Love. Love. I can't love. The Holy Spirit is the one you're supposed to be depending on. And He's giving you that love and it's in your heart. It's active and present today. Pastor, it looks like my love for God. The Holy Ghost. Your love for the Lord is increasing in Jesus' name. So you're wondering how you're going to do the ministry. Holy Ghost. Raw Holy Ghost. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost.